Good morning to all of you. It's nice to be back after having been away for two Sundays. Nice to see our little flock gather. Hopefully it will continue to gather even more as we enter into the fall and rejoice in the love that God has shown us. So today we have this very interesting story. And it begins when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you," and their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. So I think it's interesting. We have two men, on the one hand, but they have actually one voice, it seems. The two men followed him, crying out and saying, "Oh, Son of David, have mercy on us." So here's this single voice, the two of them together. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him. And he simply asked the question, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said, with one voice, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. So I wonder if the two men actually represent perhaps a man in the flesh and man in the spirit. And they really, we have this, of course, with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and the incarnation, perfect God and perfect man, in a perfect unity. And so we have these two blind men who seem to function as a single unit, and there's only one voice, and here they are. They cry out asking for mercy and for healing, and the healing of their sight. And of course, I think we understand that we have physical sight, but we also need to have spiritual sight. We have to see not only what the physical world is and how we dwell in it, but we need to see the spiritual world, which, because we are called out of the blindness of our flesh in the physical world to illumination in the Spirit of God in the spiritual world. So we ourselves, I think, suffer from blindness, and this blindness, of course, here is healed by faith. Do you believe? And it's healed by faith. And do you believe that he can do this? Can he heal these two men? But really, can he heal our whole being, both flesh on the one hand and the spirit, so that we become total unity standing before God, seeing him not only in our spiritual realm, but also even with the opening of our eyes, that we can see the glory of God. And he touched their eyes, which is very beautiful. "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes are open. Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no man knows it." And of course, it's beginning in the next verses. "But when they departed, they spread the news about him in all that country." And this is kind of a little mystery, because it comes up several times where the Savior heals and he says, "Don't tell anyone." And they immediately go off and they tell everyone. And the thing is fascinating about it is, we don't have him interjecting here in a stern voice, "I told you not to tell anyone. So, and I, honestly, it's a little mystery. My mind doesn't, I can't quite penetrate what this is about. But at any rate, I think what happens in reality is the Holy Spirit of God filled them, not only to the healing of their eyes and their noetic insight, but it healed them in the totality of their being, and they simply cannot contain themselves, and they have to spread the message throughout the country. And then the next part is, as they went out, behold, the blind men who are now seeing, brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. So here, the blind men who now can see, and hopefully they can see not only in the flesh, but they can see in the spirit, brought a man who was without voice, and probably because he was demon-possessed, he was unable to articulate his thoughts and so on. In being demon-possessed, he was undoubtedly tortured by his demonic possession. And so here he is. And here they bring him to their Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who they have affirmed with their total being. And immediately the demon is cast out, and the man who was without voice spoke. And the response is interesting. First, the multitudes marveled. It was never seen like this in Israel. And I'm sure it wasn't. What an amazing thing. I think that even today, ourselves, if we saw a person who was demon-possessed, unable to speak, if he were immediately healed in our presence by our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, we would absolutely be, we might be speechless, as it were, because of the amazement. And the Pharisees, of course, step into the scene here, Pharisees said, in the plural, he casts out demons by the ruler of demons. What an amazing thing to say. And how is it possible that the Pharisees, who at least had certain knowledge of the Mosaic law and tradition and of the holy prophets and so on, were turned against this man who came into their midst and can heal the deaf, and can and the blind, and he can cast out demons. And here, what do they say? He casts out demons by the ruler of demons. And what is this? And I think that this is pride, and it's jealousy, and it gives birth to blasphemy. This pride and jealousy that somehow or other, and it's no question that this time it was after the first temple, during the first temple period, the light of the Shekinah, the light would dwell in the temple and the mercy seat, and there were prophets and there were many miracles. But in the second temple period, which preceded our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, there were no prophecies, and there were no miracles, and there was no holy light dwelling upon the mercy seat in the temple. And so they had been devoid of this living presence of God and the mystery of God for some time. But turning it now, when the Savior actually appears, I mean, can you imagine? They've witnessed the healing of sight being returned, person possessed, having his tongue loosed and being healed, and it is, I think, it's pride and jealousy, and it gives birth to blasphemy. And it's always a time moment whenever you read a verse. first thing we think about it, we have to think about it and apply it to ourselves. Do we have pride and jealousy? And do the actions that are rooted in pride and jealousy do anything other than separate us from the mercies and love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? And I think if we did a quick review of our thoughts and how we think about other people and how we think about the circumstances of other people, I'm sure that we could all uncover moments, at least mental moments, and spiritual moments of pride in our own souls. And thinking, you know, how good I am. I'm not like the other people that surround me. And then we could also, on the other hand, when we're exalting ourselves, there's always that depression that comes. And then this, it flips over and we're then jealous, you know, which is amazing. Because on the one hand, you're exalting yourself, and then moments later, you're jealous. And it leads to blasphemy. And so, then Jesus, so what happens next is that Jesus went out of all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And it's really this last verse of the gospel we read today, which, in fact, unlocks all that went before. Because what is he doing? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And you heard me say over and over and over again that it's not a sociological, political kingdom. It's a spiritual reality, and really it is the kingly power of God. Namely, that he's preaching to those who, if they come to him and seek healing of our blindness, and seek the casting out, as it were, of the darkness that binds us, so then we can then, in that cleansed state, receive the kingly power of God, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And it's reminiscent, I think, of baptism, because the first part of baptism are the exorcisms, where the devil is cast out and a wall is built between the person who is baptized and the power of darkness and iniquity, which seeks to invade the inner life continuously. And we, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, have been blessed, as it were, to have that wall between ourselves and the powers of darkness literally grafted into our hearts and minds through the prayers of exorcism, and then the dying, as it were, to life in the world, and the rising up again into life in Christ, which is then followed by chrismation, which is the bestowing of the Holy Spirit upon those who are baptized. And that which we receive, as it were, as we enter the church, this great mystery is are something that we are given a lifetime, unless we're very old when we're baptized, but we're given, for the most part, a lifetime, or the time that's left in our lives, to discover within ourselves, through prayer and fasting and almsgiving and loving one another and continuously fighting against our inclination to pride and condemning others and looking down on others. We're given this opportunity to lead a life, to separate, where we winnow away all of these bad habits that we had and enter into the kingdom of God, which is literally the kingly power of God that radiates in the hearts and minds of those who approach our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ for healing of our blindness and both. cleansing, the cleansing of our hearts and minds of all darkness that might have invaded us because of moments and for a long time, I think, of unfaithfulness, where we lose our faith for a period of time and the darkness comes in. And so it is. This little gospel is filled with all kinds of hope and a great message for us that we should dedicate our lives to the love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, to faith in salvation through He who is both perfect God and perfect man.